Excuse me, recording has started.
Thank you very much, Rose. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the MPOC XCOM call on Tuesday, 2nd of May 2018 at 1300 UTC. On the call today, we have Gangadhar Pandey, John Carr, Juan Manuel Rojas, Consele Ileleji, Raul Ploma, and from staff, we have myself, Maria. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and also remind you to please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Thank you very much, and over to you, John.
Great. Thank you, Miriam. Hi, everyone. So this is our call for that we scheduled earlier, 1 week earlier, and so we're just following up on some of the things that we need to get done and any issues that we have to deal with, really. I know Ponsole is on another call as well, so we'll try to accommodate everyone. So let's just go through some of the things that we needed to get done from the last meeting. We first discussed the website because we've got to get that done. So I sent out the proposal. I don't know if anyone else did. I didn't see any inquiries around it. But I have not sent it out to the 99 designs that Miriam sent me. So I will actually do that today. So I didn't know how that worked. Basically, you go to the website, Miriam, and just upload your information. Is that what happens? I've never done it like that before.
Yes, I can show you how to do that when you have a few minutes.
Let's do that today, if that's all right.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. So because if they will do it at a reasonable cost as well, and quickly, that will be great. And how long does ICANN take to pay for it? Because anybody that's going to come is going to want some money up front, I would think. I mean, that's how we normally do it, is pay them so much up front and then so much in between and then at the end. So how does ICANN do it?
So this is Myram for the record. So we will invoice ICANN and also show them a receipt of payment, and then they'll reimburse you or anyone who pays for it.
Okay, so pays up front and then
invoice.
Why do they do it? I mean, that's fine, but why do they do it like that? Why can't they just get an invoice and pay it?
I don't remember the official, I mean, I have an idea of the official answer, but I don't know specifically, so I would not really answer that now because I'm not sure of the details.
Yeah, because when you when you invoice, in like here, you know, you have to use, then it's almost like you've collected income, and then you have to offset it by an expense. You know what I mean? So And also, if I can do it, that's fine, but then I have to charge HST on it. So it's the work plus GST, or we call it HST now because it's combined this year. So I don't know how that's all going to work. So, and if you collect it on behalf of someone else, you also have to then pay it back to Revenue Canada. So it will be really good if they could pay it, and then it's just from ICANN to the consultant. It's a lot of administrative work, is what I'm saying, so we have to receive it from the company, pay them, invoice ICANN, receive it, and then pay Revenue Canada. It's a lot of steps. So, anyway, maybe we could figure out some way. I guess that's how it's done. So we need to get the website done. So I'm pretty sure that ICANN paid for NCSG directly. I'll ask the Pani if that's what happened.
No, sorry, Mariam, for the record. No, they were not paid directly. So
okay.
Pani, and they were reimbursed.
Okay. Well, I guess that's how it's got to be done. We need to get the website done, so I'll just have to do it, I guess. All right, so that's clear. The other things that happened was we had to submit the onboarding for mentees and also confirm Destiny. So we have confirmed he is on board, and I think he's been approved from my understanding. Last time Destiny had issues around his visa, and I think that's cleared up now, so I haven't heard anything anyway. The other thing was we had to apply for the leadership development. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So we did send it out, and yes, we have responses. Now, one of the things I have down was that you had a name, Leah, and I didn't write the last name down, that you were going to contact her. So here's the thing before anybody answers. None of the respondees were on our database, and the call was out for MPOC. Now, I know Miriam brought that up, but I thought we were trying to get people to become part of our leadership, tell them about MPOC, and then they can help us. I'm okay with it either way, that people become members of MPOC, and my bias was toward Cindy Obid, and one of the reasons, other than that he qualified, and Laura qualified as well, highly, both, there's no questions. But when I was looking at it from an MPOC's point of view, Laura is a woman, so obviously there's a gender equity, but I tend to have that secondary. I look at the skills first and what we're trying to achieve. And Cindy actually runs a program for ISOC, so he would have a lot of operational issues and questions and, like, on-the-ground experience, while Laura is a researcher, which we need as well, but it's those operational concerns, experiences, I think we need for people to get involved in MPOC to identify those issues for us and say, okay, we need to be having a policy around this, not just researching it, but from experience, because there's nothing more than experience when it comes to operating a small not-for-profit. And they're usually the ones that are at the disadvantage in terms of issues. So that's my summation of the two candidates. So any questions or comments on that?
Other comments, Ponsley speaking.
Hi, Ponsley.
Yeah, fine, thank you. The first thing was that I don't personally know why we didn't share it first on the I know it was shared whether people can respond, but we have given opportunity for MPOC members and even emailing directly to our membership database. One of those individuals won an MPOC members. And then secondly, what I saw on the spreadsheet, I saw if we were to go according to voting, it looked as if Laura got all the votes, majority of the votes. So if it's majority on the vote, on majority of the votes for those of us who voted, I think that is pretty fair. I don't know any of them, but my
right.
First objection would be was that why are they not MPOC members? Because we have to stick with the membership. There's no point telling people who are not MPOC members,
right?
And then we are trying to boost our profile. We should try as much as possible, use all means possible to reach our members. But I don't think we have done enough of that.
Right.
Those are my comments. Thank
yeah.
You.
No, it's a really good point, and I'm struggling because we had such a short window to do this. And, you know, I think it's a greater message that if we don't have MPOC members from the LAC region, maybe we don't just get someone just for the sake of getting someone, because obviously there's an issue around And this is one of the reasons why I wanted that database, so that we can start to drill down who is in the different regions so we can be communicating with them. I don't know what everyone thinks. It may be that something we just don't approve anyone just because they've applied, because it did say MPOC members. So what is it? Any other comments? I mean, I agree that we should focus on the MPOC members. Anyone?
Why can Consulate Division speaking? Why can Eduardo not go?
Eduardo
from that region. Eduardo jogging. Okay. Eduardo Mondi from Fundación Umadengo. I think he's in Argentina or Colombia.
Well, we sent it out to everyone, first of all. Let me first say that. Anyone could apply. I'm not quite sure why he didn't. I can't answer that. No member applied, which is disconcerting in itself.
Okay, we are now selecting people that are not MPOC.
No, we're discussing them,
We are discussing them, okay.
Yeah.
But it looks as if, from the last correspondence you sent,
yes, right.
And you, even though Laura had the most votes, it looks as if you had gone with all the
right.
COVID
right.
from Haiti, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel it's not right. Personally, yes, I voted for Laura. So if you want to go with the decision that we have to put a member there, I will be opt out to vote on it because they are not members. You have to be. It's a
right.
membership based organization, and we shouldn't fill the vote. That's my opinion. But if the rest of the executive want to go with it,
right.
I want it to be on record that Consulate opted out.
Yeah, no, I actually started thinking about it. It's one thing to expand. It's another thing to look at what you have already. And, you know, we want to expand and get people involved. But at the end of the day, we have to stick to what we say. And so it's my error. It's not anybody else's. Because when I first look at it, the heading says MPOC members. So I was thinking, well, so they didn't apply. So let's take a step back and maybe what I should do, if it's okay, is look at the LACTIC members that are in the region and just write them a personal email and saying, this is available. Are you interested? Because they are already members. How is that approach? Which was probably what we should have done in the first place. Instead of sending out broadly.
Yes, that could have been the best approach to send it out to people in the region, because it was region specific. So if it's not too late, I will suggest to do that.
So that's a good point too. Miriam, do we have time to do that?
Sorry, John, I was on mute. How much time are we talking about? Sorry.
Well, today's Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. Oh my goodness! Today's Wednesday. if I'm going to send out a targeted email, it should be have an answer by Friday. People would know if they can go or not. So this would be sent out to people that are members, LACNIC, specifically from me, saying this is available. Are you able to participate? And we'll cover the support. Or is it too late for the submission? That's what I'm asking. Miriam? Hello?
I'm so sorry. I'm still talking on mute. Sorry, I was talking on mute.
Oh, okay.
My apologies. Mariam, for the record, I'm just saying that if we, I'll confirm with Terry to see what he says, and then I will let you know. But I don't think Friday will be late, will be too late, but I'll confirm.
Okay, so is everyone okay with the action? That doesn't. First of all, the action is that I'm going to go into our membership and send people in the area, the Lacnic Lac area region, and inform them about the program. And we will tell them that we've sent it out to the membership as well. I mean, they probably have seen it. So the email would ask them, are they interested in participating in Panama? Their travel would be covered, et cetera. It would be the same information as we sent out before, and they would have to apply by Friday in order to make this happen. Is everybody okay with that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so I will do that then. Now, and then we'll just have to, again, just put in a Google Doc and people vote, and we will tell them that that's what happens. Okay? And then I will have to send, we will have to tell the people who have applied that they have not been chosen because they were not members at the time of application as well. So that's it. I will do that as well, okay? So that they're not just left hanging. So one is to LAC members, one to respond. Okay. I will do those two things. Okay, next. anybody has any actions that they want to bring to the attention? The other action that I had to do was to do the election. I send those out. Miriam has been very good at doing the updating. and then the website, I talked about that. One thing that Miriam did mention is that we don't have to have a constituency day at the forum, so we don't have to plan that. But we do have an outreach option. And Renata has asked me if I wanted to do a collaboration with NCUC. There is, we are being invited to participate right now with a joint session with NCSG and ALAC. But that's not an outreach meeting, or they say it's an outreach meeting, but it's information. So Renato is saying that we should have our own. So the question is, do we just participate in the existing one, or do we do a second one with Renato? That's the question. And so we're in May 2nd, and this would be June 24th, or, sorry, the week of the 25th. What does everybody want to do?
I think, well, for the record, I think I would prefer having a joint outreach with the NCUC.
Okay.
As opposed to LAC. I mean, ALAC.
Well, that's going to happen anyway. For one, that's happening, and that's what I'm asking. So they're ALAC and NCSG, actually Tatiana, the VA from France are planning that one. They did one in Puerto Rico, and so they're doing a second one. But Renata felt that we should have one just for NCSG, I guess, in effect, with MPOC and NCUC, instead of two separate ones.
So, once I speak, is NCUC our well?
Sorry, Ponce, I didn't hear you.
To be honest, NCUC are well this meeting with ALAC?
Yes, yes, it's on the discussion all the time.
It's supposed to be NCSG meeting. It's supposed to be an NCSG meeting and ALAC.
Yes, it's interesting they call it that, but it's really Tatiana talking about what she wants to talk about. So there is no participation in terms of what is talked about. She and Olivier are planning it, and they've already said they're going to be facilitating it. There is no engagement. So that's why Renata said that we should have our own. They only want us to do the work and invite people to come and hear them.
We can have, I think, more like structures. How it is structured. We should go under NCSG. I mean, as Raul said, we'd rather do things with NCSG. The plan, the collaboration. But if anything is going, we should. I would encourage us to go stand alone. We should go as NCSG. By those two constituencies that are within the umbrella of NCSG, go.
Okay, through that, I didn't hear.
Then we don't do anything in the individual constituency. That's my take.
Yeah. So, Ponce, through what I didn't hear everything. So, if I'm understanding, you're saying to have a joint session with NCUC. Am I correct?
Well, what I said was that. Can you hear me, please?
I can hear you now.
I've been heard. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So what I mean is that if we are going to do anything with ALAC, it has to be under NCSG. We shouldn't do anything at the constituency. Because of how ALAC is structured, we should do it as NCSG. We shouldn't have any standalone event with ALAC. All our joint collaborative events should be with NCUC. But any other constituency or structure should be together with NCSG. That's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm. So the other question is, if we're doing a joint session with NCUC, what we need to talk about. So with the NCUC, it would be about the one, we would have to talk about NCSG as a whole, but then NCUC would talk about what their work is, what is NCUC, and we would talk about MPOC and what we're doing and how people can become involved. So it's more focused on the constituencies rather than just information about issues, which is what the ALAC and NCSG are going to be talking about. So. So we go ahead and do a collaboration then? Is that what I'm hearing with NCUC? Yes? No objections? Okay, so I will contact Renata and start to get that information done. One of the other things to the membership, we'll talk about that memberships later, but in light, especially since of what's happened with the LAC LAC issue, we really have to start drilling down in our membership and just, each EC member representing their region get that interaction going as well so that people know this is the person from your region, this is what MPOC is doing, these are the other members, sort of a targeted, friendly development of regions. I think we really, really need to do that. Going forward, we just can't get away with this administrative stuff anymore. And I think we're ready to go. So we'll get the website done and I think a lot of that will fall in place. Those were my action. Oh, my next action was the financial. So two things. One, I've been in conversation with Rudy and told him that the EC had approved that I could receive the funds, but he seemed really confused about that. So, and I think it's probably too late to do it anyway. So what him and I are discussing is I want him to tell me what was the wrong information on the piece of paper. Neither him or Sam seems to know. So I have a branch just 2 minutes away from me that I'm going to go to them and ask them what information in terms of the funds. Now, I really should be going to Sam's bank, which is 2 hours away, but I will get this done and send it to him myself. I mean, I really want to close this and pay Sam off. And if it ends up that I receive the funds, we need to close that bank account because it's an operational thing that we have to file a tax return as well. So there's also that, which was due on the April 30th, but there's no money in it, so we don't have to worry. The second thing is Sam, through some research, found out that monies were received and were supposed to be for MPOC, but I think I've updated everyone on that. So now Farzi has sent me an email saying that they are going to go ahead and submit the 2018 request for funds, and so we will be sharing in those funds. And that's the only, I mean, it's not the only way going forward, but it's the less messy way. I think the other way we wouldn't get any money, but and if we put up a stink, we wouldn't get any money for 2018 either. I did send an email to Paul just to apprise him of what's happened and that it was our understanding that MPOC should have received some money, but he's away and didn't respond. So it, I guess we can just put it up to information. So I think those were all the things I was supposed to do. Any inputs from anyone? No? Okay, let's go to Panama. Any issues with Panama so far? Are we good? I know Remy is having some problems with constituency travel. And I'll be helping him with that. He has a visa, and they want to apply for a visa for him, but he already has one. So I'm on top of that as well. So, sorry, somebody was going to say something?
Did Paul Diaz write the initial letter to you asking why wasn't it shared in blocks?
So what Farzi said was that in their investigation, after I questioned it, I guess, he said that Brian Shute, who is the president of PIR, and Paul agreed that it was for NCUC. Now, his initial email didn't say that, but I guess if he writes that, what can we do? So,
right.
So that's Farzi saying that they both said that. So I wrote an email to Paul and said, you know, it's our understanding, the block funding, there was a misunderstanding, or we had the perception that it was to be shared and blah, 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 blah. I wrote it very nicely, but I'd got an automatic response that he was away. So,
okay,
I wanted to confirm it.
Yes, it's good that you do, but so he hasn't answered that.
No.
And that's how many days ago?
That was last week.
All right.
So all right. I have it on record that he said it was block funding. But the thing, here's the thing, it can get pretty messy if we said, well, we need to get that money, right? So the thing that makes me a little angry was the comment that Farzi said in her email, well, you guys aren't doing anything anyway. That's not her business if the funds were supposed to be sent to us. Anybody can do
both. Well, that's right.
You know, that's, you know, I could get on my high horse with her too, but I thought, you know what, I always tend to look at the bigger picture sometimes, but face-to-face, I'm going to say to her, that was not your decision, that was our decision. So.
Yeah, should it be the NCSG decision?
That's right. And
I think Dupre didn't even know about it.
That's right.
And he was the chair. So
right.
It is a little fishy.
Exactly. So I think it's out there now, and they've spent the money, that's for sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always look at it, if there's nothing there, what are you fighting? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it still is something that we can sort of ask for more compensation in this coming.
Right. We're in a good position. That's exactly my thinking.
Yeah.
You have to be strategic about these things.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want to have another fight within the non-commercial stakeholder group.
That's right. All it would come up to, what the fight would be was not that the funds weren't disbursed, but was who was most deserving. That's what it was going to come down to. And
right.
The thing is, we could argue it because they NCUC could do some of the things they did because they had funds.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, they could get on that. I mean, I would argue it as well. I said, oh, yeah, well, that's great. If you're using our money to promote NCUC, we could have done the same. So, anyway, it's like I said, if the money isn't there, it's a moot point anyway.
Right. Well, let's wait another week if Paul gets back to you. If he doesn't, we'll just ask him again.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think the communication that you guys have with Paul, I think it should be copied, whereby first it's copied on that email, what Paul exactly said. But for me personally, when I read Paul's statement that he said, they said MPOP was not doing anything, and the last event we had, which we collaborated with CIR, was in Durban, and I took part in that event on CNS Africa. And so, and after that, that was the last event, and CIR funded it, and I remember I talked about it, and I know there was a transition going on there between Klaus and the other guy, Rudy, and Klaus. So when Paz is making a statement that we're not doing anything, do we say when you came on board at Atlanta, did you reach out to Paul or stuff like that? Because if she copies Paz on the email that Paul is saying, they will have known. So whoever mentioned the comment, but it looks as if on our part, in fact, that it looks as if we just got back to PIR, but last time I think we engaged there to bound the standing was 2014, I think Durban 2014 or 2014. So we have to revisit, let's Paul be copied on the emails. Even if you don't want to copy us, let's come be copied on the emails to Durban. Fazi and Paul, let me be with traffic, instead of what this one said, because my understanding is that the last event PIR funded for EMPO was in Durban, and I took part in it, so I'm well aware, because they won't pay for the extra nights of hotels, and because the event was a pre-event before the ICANN meeting in Durban, and I remember it was PIR that won't pay for my nights, paid for Cloud's nights, and I think Rudy's nights, and I think Olivia was there, I can't remember. But all of us that were there, the extra night, Kiara was the one that paid the extra 2 nights that were like time for them. So for them to say we didn't do anything, or having to come up with a statement that they said we were dumb or something, it was our leadership change took place. Which we have to look back. I mean, I think a lot of things were not handed over that were supposed to be handed over. So it puts us in a bad spot. So no matter how we look at it, we have lost out on this. Personally, I think we have lost out on this because there was no due process in our handover. We have lost out on this, and we should just take it, or we should clarify it. Paul and on the same for clarity, for transparency. That's how we should do it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is a lot of things that you've brought up, but a couple of things that I see in terms that there's so much history, and I'm always trying to look at how do we go forward with what we have. So there is a lot of negative perception around the PIR funding, and is it probably even we haven't been accused because we haven't done it in terms of our EC, but you know, were the funds used to engage members and to grow MPOC? I think that's at the core of what's happening here. So PIR, as with any sponsorship of any funds that anybody has, is what are the numbers that my money is going to reach and influence. That's, at the end of the day, that's what all funds are. And we don't have any stats to say that. Now, we did have a really successful event in Hyderabad where we had a lot of people show up, and that's where some of that money went. But some of the money also went to the Pathfinder education series, which was a good thing, but we don't have any stats to say these were the people that attended. And I asked for it at the time as a membership chair. Who attended? Where was it? What was the impact? And what was the go forward? None of that was available to MPOC because even though it was MPOC funds that were used, it was actually Pathfinder that benefited in terms of those stats. So we're really not having anything to give them while NCUC has done a lot of outreach, and these are the people that attended. This is, you know, and the frequency seems more, even though we've actually done more work. But it's the perception and the divided stats in terms of the two organizations. So those are the things that we're dealing with PIR. And funders, I mean, I used to do this as a living. I mean, it may be different in the U.S., but funders look at when what's the impact you have when we give you funds. I spoke with Paul in Abu Dhabi face-to-face, and I said to him, these are the things that MPOC is doing. This is what the EC is doing, the transparency, the accountability, and in terms of funds. And it was to my face that he said at the time, that's wonderful. We've given money to NCSG. We will give money to NCSG as block funding, and MPOC is included in that. And then now also say that. So we know that it was done, but there's nothing we can do. So we just have to up our game and start to show those stats that they're looking for and apply, because we didn't also need to do fundraising anyway. So I have a strategy for that. So anyway, that's where we're at. So we'll have to start to document our meetings and take pictures and really do the social media and the media and put it on the website. And I want to challenge the 600 memberships that NCUC is saying that it has, because I know that when I first came on, MPOC had 162 organizations, and many of those were projects, not organizations. So I don't know when they've updated their membership, but our membership is real. So, anyway, there we are. We'll work it out, guys. We have to do. We have to be very careful not to bring any negativity and finger pointing, because we're going to be the losers in that game, even though we're right. Okay, so we have to plan for two activities in. We don't really have to plan the EC meeting. But the outreach, I'll collaborate with NCUC, and we can go from there. We've got the elections ongoing, so we're good for that. And has everyone been considering what positions and how they're going to run and all of that kind of stuff? And if their terms are limited as well? Please do remember that when we came on during the 2016 to 2017, some people were not elected. It was sort of placed, I guess, because of what happened. So, you know, when you're looking at your time, do look at that as well. It's not just that you've been in that position for 2 years, but were you elected in those 2 years for that position? Okay, so let's go to any updates from anyone? Ganga, how many members do we have?
Eighty-seven.
I thought for some reason
and
we had 89.
We have the breakup also. LSC, we have 9. Europe 17, Asia Pacific 17, North Atlantic 17, Africa 26.
Oh, okay, so you broke it down by region. Fantastic. So I thought it was 89. Okay, well, we're growing anyway. Great. Thank you. And you did a good job in the mission and the what they're focused on. Very good. So 35 have registered to vote. So a little bit less than 50%, but that's okay. That's pretty good.
Yes. Juan, Ponsley, for the record, we have about 35 or less that registered to vote.
Sorry?
That have signed in. So, to me, we are having 85 members. We are having 85 members and 89, and we are having 85 voting. That is less than 50%.
Yeah, that's pretty good, eh?
So, having the membership, it's good though. Okay.
Yeah.
Just
so.
My comment, anyway.
Yeah, no, because the other elections, at least the ones that I was involved with, it was way less than those numbers. It was 23, I think, 1 year, and 21 1 year. So this is great. So I like to see growth myself. So we are doing things that people are starting to notice. So that's what that means to me. So. Anyway, that's great. Okay, so let's go to the comment list. Do you have any comments that for us to look at, Ponsley?
John, can you repeat what you said?
Ponsley?
Hello?
Yeah, do you have any comments for us to take a look at?
About the time for EC review, everything is under, everything that is going on now in the EC are new calls for comments.
Okay.
And are new calls for comments that are happening, that just came in, and I think based on the last policy call whereby whereby you make a review and Aiden comes, like happened with Dorothy, Aiden comes and changes everything. So we now have, within the policy group, we now have a lot of people now reluctant to volunteer to comment because one person will just come and change everything to look
right.
like one perspective. So me, myself, I've just been watching to see because when I see Dorothy Gordon, who is very experienced and what she wrote, everything was
Yeah, but we need to look at those, like we need to always have, Pumphrey, we need to have the common...
I'm sticking with what I'm doing with the SSC. I'm sticking with what I'm doing with the SSC and all the working groups I am with. I'm not going to go into any new commentary except it's MPOC-centric. And nothing that has come up that has been MPOC-centric.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to do those. What we need to do is the ones that, for you to identify the ones that we need to comment on and have a list to say these are the upcoming policy comments. I mean, one has done that, which is has been great, sending it to the members and with the links. I mean, at a basic level, that's the minimum that should be done every month. And then, secondly, that the comments are there for us to review so that we can look at it and say, okay, as the EC... Sorry? I'm having a hard time hearing Ponsole. Hello?
Yeah, his connection is very choppy. I think there is one really recent comment that just came, and that's the one about the NOMCOM review. And I'm going to have a look at that, but I'll be in Toronto by the time I get that done. I think that still has a deadline. Actually, that has a deadline of 7th. So in the next 5 days, I think Farzi just posted it 8 hours ago, and I'm gonna make some input for that, and then there was another one, I think that was about the budget, so at least those ones are some that NPOC should be answering to.
Yeah, because you see, that's the thing is that we have to. Say it as an organization, right? So that's what I'm trying to get at, is that we need to see them and submit it as on behalf of MPOC because it's organization, not individual. So I will maybe we can upload them to a Google Doc, both those comments, and put our comments in and then submit by the due date. That's really what's supposed to happen. So... All right. I'm just going into my email to see that Farzi did send a number of... Yes, I see those. Yes. So there's a NOMCOM one, like you said, and there's also the course. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. So Raul, if I'm understanding it, you're going to start the comments or you're just going to send us the link?
I'll start making the comments for the NOMCOM one, and I can send the rest of you the link as well. I think Farzi just posted it, and there's already a draft version for the NCSG, so I think we should just make the comments in the same Google Doc, because then everyone can evaluate each other.
Okay. All right, that's good. Okay, so we'll put that down as an action then. Okay, Ponce, are there anything that we should be looking at that we need to do other than what Raul just said? Are there any other GNSO, the policy committee issues that we have to deal with from the EC, the policy EC that you're on? I think we've lost Ponsole. on delay? I think we've lost him. Okay, so our next topic is the charter update. But before we get to that, since it's sort of the last thing, can we just do any business arising and that we need to look at? Anyone? No? No new business arising? Okay. Our next meeting then. Do we want to go back to our original schedule? So usually we have it on this around the 2nd. So that's the 13th, would be the 13th of June. Does the 13th of June sound good?
I will be in Georgia until the 18th. From the 3rd till the 18th. So maybe we want to have it on the, is the 20th too late?
No, because we can always, so I leave for on the 23rd, so that's good. Okay, the 20th, is everybody okay with the 20th? That is a lot of work to get done, so we work well by Skype anyway. Is 20th okay for everyone? Okay. All right, so June 20th. So, Miriam, June 20th at the same time is good?
Yep.
Okay. All right, great. So if we don't have anything else in terms of the EC, we can go to the charter then? Yes? All right, let's go to the charter. As long as there are no other issue. Okay, Raul. Yes?
Don Esmer, I'm sorry. So the next EC meeting is on June the 20th, right?
Yes.
Do you want it at 12 UTC or 13 UTC?
13. Yeah, not, that's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
because the time has moved, so I'm not sure. So which one would you prefer?
The same time, 1300.
13 UTC. All right, then. Thank you very much.
No worries. Yeah. Yeah, we should always try to keep things as consistent as possible because then you don't forget or not as much. Okay, Raul, we had to do the other issues, right?
Yeah, the only thing that is that we should do sort of today I think it's really having a look at the role of the treasurer and the finance section. That was the 10th section.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's all we really need to do before sending it off to John.
Okay. So we just go to it, I guess, on our own? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I don't know. Do you want to... We could now do it during this call.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
How do we? I don't know how to upload it. I guess I do share screen, right?
Right. Yeah. I guess the shared screen, and we'll just have the spreadsheet open. Remember the one that has both the old and the new version. Or really the old version and the cross checking with the new one, whether we're missing anything important. I'll put the link on Skype because it's open on my other computer than the one that WebEx is on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking. So. I have to go to...
Okay, I put it to npoc.xcom. Ending the link.
Yeah. So, Miriam, can you give me authorization for a sharing screen?
I guess I'll do that now.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's got the link there.
Yeah, she's just now, can you see my screen? Or I haven't. You're now the presenter. Can you see my screen? Can everybody see my screen?
I can just see the agenda at the moment.
Hmm. On, share, my screen. Oh, okay, here we go. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Great. Great. Wonderful. All right. Technology is wonderful.
So if you go to section 10, that's the finances.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here we go. So so we left it open that we can collect fees, and that's the first thing that's done there. But then we have another few left. If we can just think through them, I think we're done in about 15 minutes.
Okay. Tell me.
So 10.2, funding sources. Members shall take reasonable efforts to assist the secretary that in procuring financing for the NPOC. Okay, so we'll really want that to be the treasurer.
So the treasurer doesn't fundraise. The treasurer keeps records.
Yes. That's
so
also true.
Yeah, it's the EC that they're assisting. All the treasurer is doing is keeping records for the EC.
That's right. Yeah, I guess seeking funding is really for the chair and the vice chair.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can take out to the secretariat and just say, you know, members shall take reasonable efforts to assist in procuring financing. As opposed to qualifying it. So if somebody identifies a source, right?
Okay, I put that treasurer will only manage funds, not acquire them. It's up to the chair and the VC to get funding from external sources.
Right. Or, yeah, okay. Yeah, Pansley is probably gone, Juan. He's said before that the charter was fine, so if he's not in, it's because he's opted not to. That's why I always leave it for the end. Okay.
Right. And then 10.2.1,
there's like it's basically just continuing like what are the sources.
Right.
And it says, I mean, those don't have to change. There's organizations, institutions, employers with which members are affiliated.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yep. So that gives me an idea.
And in the form of grants, research funding, public funds available from such sources as foundations, governments, and others. So yeah, that's all good. From major actors in the industry, including without limitation registrars, registries, internet service providers, and so forth. Aye, if they're willing to give us money, we'll be happy to use them. And from the non-commercial stakeholders group, NCSG and ICANN. Okay, we only have two left. So now it's conflicts of interest. What does it say here? I think we'll have to reword this because it's, I mean, I think on top of ICANN, the only source of money for us is the PIR. So they are a registry and we'd need to, I mean, what this is saying is that the funding would need to be balanced across sources.
Yeah, it's so
from groups that are represented in a GNSO.
Yes, but we have that anyway. What it's saying is that we can't have a single source of funds.
Which is really the PIR if you don't take ICANN into account.
Right. But above, and this is where engaging our members, it's saying that we can also apply for those other funds. That's what it's saying. Because we can apply. We haven't gotten any and we have not applied. It's only been with PIR. But there is not—they have not dictated any obligations so far.
Yeah, it's just that I mean, it does say here that any funding obtained from sources within ICANN and from industry groups represented in the GNSO must be balanced across sources.
So what is the problem with that? It's fine.
So, I mean, if the PIR is the only source, it might sort of look bad with this rule in our charter.
And so what is the change that you're suggesting? See, I think it's fine. It's just holding us into account that we're not just relying on one source. Somebody's speaking and I can't hear them. So what did you want to change it to?
I don't know. I just don't feel that good about that must be balanced across sources because that could sort of restrict us.
Yeah, because if somebody says, well, see, I was interpreting it that we are going after other funds, but if we don't get, somebody can say technically, oh, you only get, right? Not that we've applied other funding. Okay, so the pointing of fingers. Okay. So it's the word balance. So let's see. Let's See, for example, PIR, we would not receive just funding from them. We're actually receiving it from NCSG now. But that's just a mute point. So do you want to take the word must be balanced across sources? So why don't we take
yeah.
the must be balanced across sources and just have given without obligation. So we're qualifying them that there is no obligation on our side.
Right. Yeah, I can totally go with that. So we
yeah.
just take out the balanced across sources.
Correct.
So then it's represented in a GNSO must be given without obligations to engage, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I do think we should post it on the website if we do receive funds, so I agree with that side of it. Okay. All right. So I would
Did somebody find the conflicts of interest in our new charter? Did we have it there?
Now, is the section correct? Section 9.0?
No, probably not.
See if I can find the old. If I go anywhere else, it my screen gets. Can someone? Okay. Yeah. Great. All right, so let's look. So the Secretariat, the information shall be posted on, the financial information shall be posted on the MPOC website as opposed to the person. Raul?
Sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
So it the qualification of the Secretariat shall post, that's the second sentence. I said the we take out the Secretariat and say the information shall be posted on the MPOC website.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Whenever we can take this kind of stuff out, because then you can just do it, right? Sorry, I tend to think of organizations as very linear. So. Okay, great. All right, next.
Yeah, last one on this. So NPOC will follow a calendar year fiscal period and will follow generally accepted accounting practices. Okay.
Okay.
High-level financial reports records will be published to its public website, npoc.org, for internal ICANN community and general public transparency. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Detailed financial reports records will be made available to ICANN staff upon request. Upon request, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Upon reasonable written request or concern, the NPOC Executive Committee will engage an independent party, most likely an executive or financial committee within another GNSO constituency group,
to conduct an independent review. Huh, what's that last part about?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what we do at FBSC. You can, if you have it in your bylaws, that there's your financial records can have an independent review, not necessarily an accountant, but somebody with an accounting background that is a third party. So they're independent. It's always a good thing to have that in your bylaws. So I agree with it. So basically, if someone questions something, this is going forward because certainly there isn't anything in the past. We have our records with the appointed treasurer, and if someone says, oh, you received $8,000 from the NCSG and, you know, you had monies before, where were those monies from, what were they spent on? And so the treasurer prepares it and send it off to, and I think the GNSO is a good group to send it to, and they conduct a review. So they look at, did the money come from where we said it came from? Was it spent according to what we've said? And have general accounting principles being followed? So general accounting principles are, where did the money come from? Was it's in the bank? Yes. This is how it was spent. Here's a receipt or check. And basically, you don't have to pay $2,500 to $5,000 for an accountant. So I agree with it. I think it's a good thing to have. I mean, when we start to receive $1 million, we'll have to hire an auditor, so.
Oh, yeah, I wish I had those problems. So I think... now I just put the wording on both of those last ones just there. I couldn't find them in our new charter, so I think we'd want to include those somewhere there. But I think John might have a better idea of that.
Right, he has the old charter as well. And
right.
Did a really good job with cross-checking for ALOC. So,
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's done for the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one last thing, amendments. It only has three sections. Okay. We still up for doing that?
Yeah, I want to get it done.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
So, amendments, 11.1. Each charter may be amended from time to time subject to a majority vote of members. Proposals for amendment that are not supported by the executive committee require a proposer and expressions of support from 25% of members before being put to vote.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, is that 25% a little too high? I mean, if we think the elections where about a third of our members participate in, what's the chances of getting support like that for some proposed within the NPOC? I think it's like way too high.
But the thing is, this is a major decision. So I think the numbers have to be higher because it's not just your regular, do you agree with this or not? This is a major endeavor for people. And it is a qualifier. It says if the EC is not agreeing with the any amendments, right? So this is actually, to be blunt, is in favor of the EC if they don't want to change anything. So,
well, that's right. I'm not really thinking only the best thing for the EC, but for the constituency. So yeah. I think that 25 could be a little too high. Maybe 20% could be still really quite high.
I mean, let's say that it really was 35 active members. I don't know if that was the case, but like that's including the EC, whereas this would not include the EC.
Right.
So I think it'd be like really, really almost impossible to get 25% of members. It seems that at best,
the active members, though.
Well, it doesn't say here. It doesn't say active members here.
Yeah.
So you know,
modify it like that or lower the percentage. So let's lower the percentage then.
Yeah, to 20.
If we say active members, then we have to prove who were active members.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and I think that's a little harder than. Yeah. So let's put 20.
Sure. But the only other thing is that if you put it, if you qualify it, this is just an argument. If you qualify it, then someone from left field can't just come out and say, oh, I want to question it, and they have never been involved. So there's always that. Do you know what I'm saying? As opposed to people who are involved. But anyway, let's just change the percentage and go from there.
Yeah, I think they would still need, like, more actives than what we have for the elections. So that's like that's still really, really, really hard. It would need to be a really popular thing to get that amount of votes outside the EC.
Right. Okay.
And I didn't see that in the new charter. Did somebody see it?
I didn't look at the, and if I go to it, it will, my screen.
All right. Well here's, there's section 9 in our new charter is the changes to these bylaws. Yeah, here it actually says, amendments may be proposed by the executive committee by majority vote or by a petition of 5% of the then current active members. So you see, that's a whole lot different than...
Yeah.
Than 25% of all members.
Yeah. I mean, I personally prefer active members, but because it gives an incentive to become active. You know that.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? As opposed to just sitting on the side, because you know how people like to blah 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 blah, blah, but they haven't been involved. So you know, it forces you to be active in order
right.
to input. But that's just me.
Okay, so I think that is too low because 5% of the now current active members would be too low for us.
Yeah,
that would basically be like two people or
yeah.
something. So I think we want to put maybe that to 20% of the active, 20% of the active members or 25 of the active.
No, yeah, 15% of active members.
15?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of our major program manager for Smart Villages died last night at 9 o'clock. So it's a bit of a rush for us.
All right. I put the section there, and I changed the wording in the section in the new charter. So 11.2, it's the second last one. If disputes arise regarding the interpretation of this charter, such interpretation will be decided upon by the executive committee without prejudice to the right of any member to file a complaint to the ICANN ombudsman. That's quite straightforward.
Yeah.
We don't actually have that in the charter. Maybe we should.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's make a section 9.3. See, this is why it was really good to check the old one, if the new one is missing something. Because now we can actually see, like, that at least we'll have all the things that were there before.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah.
And it's still streamlined.
Yes. Quite a lot, so. And it's also much more similar to the NPOC one. I mean, NCUC one.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so I added it there. So the last one, this is the last section of the charter we have to deal with before sending it off.
Yeah, you didn't copy the interpretation into the content for the new charter.
I do that.
Yeah. Just to be consistent. I know you want to get to the last one.
I'm just getting so excited about this. It's like, oh my God, it's like a group of monkeys off my back.
You've enjoyed this, haven't you?
Oh man, I'm not a masochist.
Sorry. articles on this revised are taken in the following. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, does it even need to be there?
Yeah. No, I think it does need to be there. Because people will want to know when does it take effect.
In the new one it says bylaws amendments shall be passed if at least 2/3 of the votes cast in the election favor its adoption, provided a quorum of 40% or more of the eligible organizational members cast a ballot in the election. So basically, that's automatic pass if that happens.
Right. Okay.
That's what it says in the new one. Right. Yeah, it's just a different wording, really.
Yeah.
So I'll just put 9.2 there. Oh my God, we're done!
Oh my gosh, I you're so excited, it's unbelievable.
I feel like crying.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Tears of joy.
Yeah. It's, I had a whole bunch to do last week, I mean, unbelievable. And I was sitting down and I said to Glenn, this is one of those weeks when I feel like drinking. And so he looked at me, he goes, but you don't drink. I said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those days when I feel like drinking. He says, yeah, don't go there, John. So you can drink for joy or drink because you're overwhelmed, you know. So there we go. Okay, so the next step for the charter is that we've got to send it to John. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you want to send it, or did you want me to send it? We should give him a copy of the old and new, so he has it for his record, right? To refer back.
Yes. To. Yes. I'll post the Trello card that has both.
Yes. So did you want me to send him instructions or do you want to send it to him with the two links or with the download? Why don't you send it to him and just copy us?
Yeah, I can send it for all of us,
yes.
XCOM and John, okay?
Yes. Yeah, because it's sort of like your baby, so.
Well, I don't know. I think you've done just as much for it.
All right, so that's the action then, that we'll send it to John. Okay?
Excellent.
Oh, my God.
Phew!
If we had the website done, we would be so on track again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll get
I'll try to prepare something about the website for our next meeting on the 20th. of June. Is that our next meeting?
June 20th. Do you have anyone that it can that can do the developing?
I know some people, yeah.
So you should be sending the reference to them, the terms of reference to them. Send it out and let people respond. Don't tell them the amount of money, though. Let them give us a price.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So should me and Juan then coordinate what we want on that website, make a proposal for the whole ANPOC?
Well, we did the terms of references to get quotes already. So I'll send it to you guys, and you should be sending it out to people because they won't pay the EC to develop it, which is unfortunate. But
right.
I've sent it out to people that I know, but they haven't responded yet, but there's still 2 weeks left. So I will send it to you guys, and if you have, I mean, I sent it to you guys already, so just use it and send it to anyone you know. I mean, technically, Raul, it will be really good if whomever is sort of leading it, which is you and Juan, it should be either close by or that you know, or do you know what I mean? So technically, but sometimes things don't happen like that. But do you have the terms of references already? I sent it to you.
I'm sure I do. I'm sorry, I've just been so swamped with, like, so many things. I'm trying to prepare for the Toronto trip and like, getting my MOOC done and so on and so on. I don't know if I ever got kids, like, where I'm going to get that time.
Yeah, it's, I've been there, so. So... Do you have a sec? So, two things. You're going to send it off to John with the old and the new, and you'll send off the terms of references to anybody that you know as well.
Yes.
So, okay. So, that's two things. So, while you're on the phone, can we quickly talk about Toronto, if you have any plans to go?
Sure.
Okay. Has nothing to do, since just because we're talking. So, do you know what dates? Glenn has got sponsored for a hotel room in Toronto. Hey! So, he's happy about that because it is quite a trek to go in the mornings. It's not that far.
Oh, for sure.
But it's because of everybody else is going from our city into Toronto. So, it's really, traffic jams are...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he's happy about that. So that starts on May 15th is when the hotel room is available.
Okay. Right.
Gives you an idea. Oh, you're going to Barrie. And now Barrie, how are you traveling? Are you getting a drive or coming to Oshawa by train? Because that's almost a two-hour trek by train.
All right. Well, so basically, I think somebody is going to pick us up from the Toronto airport and take us straight to Barrie.
Right.
And like Teemu was made one of the keynote speakers, like at the end.
Yeah.
And I think I get to join a panel as well, like digital justice panel. And so I think we'll stay there until the 12th. And I think the conference and the hackathon finishes at like 4 p.m. on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, I guess it's like 1.5 hours from Barrie to Toronto and then another 2 hours to your place.
Not 2 hours. If you're going to Toronto, from Toronto, it'll be about an hour.
Oh, okay. Right.
I thought you
were
from Barrie, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that would be the sensible thing to do because I think Teemu wants to be in Toronto already on the 14th, and Tapani will be looking for a hotel from then on as well. So I think it's if we came on the night of the 12th to your place, and then stayed that between 12th and the 13th, and then 13th and the 14th, and in the morning of 14th, we'd start our journey back to Toronto.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. All right. And so Chapani will be coming as well?
Yeah, he's coming to RightsCon. You'll see him there.
But is he coming to my house as well?
Oh, I did tell him. I think he's still looking at his schedule there, but didn't say yes or no yet.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so we can hang out on the 13th and go up to the garden and stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's like next week.
Yeah. And so you have a hotel room after the 14th then, like on the 15th?
Like basically we'd arrive in Toronto then on the 14th and we would have like Airbnb from 14th till the 19th when we catch our flight back to Finland.
Right, so is that booked already?
It isn't.
Okay, because Glenn said you guys can stay with him too in the hotel if you want. Now, I don't know how big the room is or anything like that.
But wouldn't you be staying there, too?
Yeah, but...
And it's like, it's like the two of us and then Tapani as well, and we've been sort of going to make a common Airbnb with, like, three different bedrooms. It was actually fairly cheap for us. It was, like, for 5 days... It was 900 for all three of us, so 300 each.
Well, I mean, I don't have to be at RightsCon every day, so if you guys want to, if you're desperate for, you know, you could stay with Glenn for a few days, but if not, I'll stay, but if not, you guys can stay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's fine, John. I'd rather see you at RightsCon more.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good then.
Mhm.
All right. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Yes. I guess it's time to wrap up the meeting.
Yep. Okay, Miriam. Sorry, we're done, and we have our actions.
Rose, you may stop the recording and disconnect all. And thank you very much for your time. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.